KPBS On Demand is supported by Parks California, in partnership with California State Parks, presents Arts in California Parks, a program offering interactive arts and cultural events in parks throughout the state. Event info at parkscalifornia.org/arts.
You are now listening to Meridian Arts.
The story you're about to hear is true. It takes place in the wild world of rap and contains mature content that may not be appropriate for all audiences. Like NWA said,
parental discretion's advised.
San Diego, stand up. Mitchie Slick, J.O. Felony, you know what I'm saying? Y'all stand up out there. So for Ernie. Yeah.
Peace, y'all. My name is Parker Edison. I'm an artist and I'm fascinated by the impact of rap writers. Hip-hop's 50th anniversary yielded a ton of articles and interviews on the subject. Being the black rap nerd that I am, I started to notice San Diego's rap scene is sort of unique for a couple of reasons. I played my share of shows all over the country, and many a night has been spent in a van, taxi, or green room with my crew in a shouting match about how the city measures up in the sport of rap. I tapped in with some of those close friends I've been discussing rap with, and we put together this series to break it down for you. But here's the deal. This isn't the history of hip-hop. This isn't a complete timeline. I'm giving you the story as I've learned it. Some details will be left out. When we talk about Kendrick Lamar winning the Pulitzer Prize, we don't have time to mention all the other people who won awards that day. We hit the points to show what happened. Keep that in mind while you're listening. This is about San Diego rap and the remarkable events that brought it where it is today. You ready? Then let's go. This is the San Diego story. In the 2000s, we see the first generation of hybrid rappers. Kids that have grown up with rap their entire lives. Born with the internet in full swing, they come into music knowing how record labels worked and what destroyed them. They've experienced Sam Goody and SoundCloud. Because of this, their hustle is a hybrid of both indie and label strategies. One example is Little Maru, whose stage name is inspired by Naruto character Shikamaru. Encouraged by positive feedback, he pursued a career in music. His collabs and solo tracks have gained major traction outside of the city.
And my kids trying to be like me. She and I and Barbie 3x3. If she thought that she VIP,
Another young rapper whose popularity was rising is Memo the Mafioso. Hailing from the Golden Hills area of San Diego, he built a buzz in 2019 with his hit song, Doughboy, cultivating a loyal fan base across music platforms.
I'm a dope boy, getting money, all that I know. Self-made bread, winning, no one show me the ropes. The Don dot a shot collar, no one putting me on. I ain't worried about a soul, boy, I stay with a pole. If anybody feeling bold, then his body get rolled.
Third example, out of Oceanside, he's earned a reputation for delivering captivating content, racking up over 11 million YouTube views and 70,000 subscribers. As if what he's doing isn't enough, Desi features West Coast greats like Corrupt and Sugar Free.
We like to pull up fun and now. Yeah, you know the bounce don't stop. From Oceanside to South Central, keep advancing for the black. Keep it going around the clock, from neighborhood fuse to investing in stocks. Duh, tell them how we rock.
From the west side of Killer, California, eh? Off of Western Imperial is where I play.
What's your name and what city are you in?
Yo, what's up, Desi Hollow? We're reporting live from Oceanside, California, the home of the Lolos. So when I started, it was the era of mixtape CDs, people selling their CDs outside with CD player, trying to pitch their music, you know, out in the streets, you know. And back in the day, it was word of mouth, and it was a lot of like, you had to sell yourself. But you know, you don't really see that anymore. When back in the day, it was like, you really had to put yourself out there. And you know, you don't have to do that no more. Artists, I like to say it like this, they're a little bit spoiled. You know, they have these streaming sites, you know, it's so easy to be seen now.
Who taught you the game, bro? Who was a mentor for you coming into hip hop?
Musically, I was a student of very heavy West Coast gangster rap. And then, you know, before that, my pops introduced me to funk. My style is very, it's a new style, you know? Back in the day, they had funk, disco, P-funk, G-funk, you know? Those are all eras that have gone, came and gone. And now it's like, you know, things transform, things evolve.
In your opinion, do you think technology is bettering the game, or hindering it?
I'm just going with it. You know, I'm trying to adapt to the technology and try to figure out how to keep the integrity in my music, but also try to cater to this new group of people. You know, it's like these young kids, they eat this music up, but at the same time, like, they're looking for something in that music, and you give them that, but also keep your own integrity.
I didn't add it here, but in our interview, Desi described himself as 75% businessman and 25% artist. He's that hybrid artist. He's working with artists like a label and digitally selling it out the trunk. 30 miles south of him, our next guest is making art out of his life. Both are producing noteworthy results, each with their own approach.
What's your name and where are we for this interview?
My name is Ramel Wallace, and right now we're in National City in a place called Brick Row, which is a historic
Black
part
folks
of National
were restricted
City.
From living anywhere Got else you. In San Diego. We were in the midst of the civil rights movement, and California was Mecca when it came to freedom. Barrio Logan was beautiful, and we flourished and connected through creative arts.
The last Black man in Barrio Logan, it's a name that I got from a movie called The Last Black Man in San Francisco. It's this representation of, you know, all of the last people to speak for their demographic. Like, whether that's the last of the Mohicans, the last people of a family before they migrate, and what that perspective means when there's scarcity to your identity.
Tell me about the role the city plays in your art.
Where you're located is always foundational to what you write about, and I just learned about that through hip hop. And it also is like a shortcut to get through
Writer's block.
Like, you just articulate what's around you. I was telling someone the other day, sometimes I would just look at different pieces of art and I would describe it, and that would be the dopest line that I could ever write, and that would spark something from it. And so, you know, I would always look at my environment, whether it's the freeways that I'm surrounded by, the certain place that I live, the family that I'm surrounded by, and I would write literally about those things, and I'd have just a eternity pool that I could write from.
Wow.
And that's kind of like a philosophy for writing.
Why that when my soul shine greater than gold? Remember that when you dirt piss old, your old mind gone. That's when summer nights get cold. That's what I'm thinking about.
Worship is Jesus, resurrected like Lazarus. But you can call me lazy. Yeah, I'm lazy because I'd rather sit and build than work a flower field, worshiping a deli.
I'm always working on getting rid of my ego. And the Martin Luther King freeway allowed me to stay static while in motion.
I remember interviewing you maybe like 2016, and life was a little bit hectic. Do you remember anything from that period, 2015, 2016?
I was coming back from the Grammys, I remember. Delta Airlines and the Grammys, they had this thing called the Delta Innovation Class Winner. And it was someone that was out there in the community doing things. And at that time, we had just opened up the church. I had just dropped an album called The Holy Field. And so there were eyes on me for doing those things. And at the same time, Reclaiming the Community, that project was coming out. That got on like NPR. So I'm like looking at how, just again, how you can partner with brands and talk about things like that have informed why you do your art. And I'm seeing things like 1207 and Rob Stone at that time. They just started popping and they were doing really dope shows. And I was in the next space of my artistry where now I could provide a platform for them. So they were inside the church, which is a community space for creatives at that time. And they were doing shows there. And then the social movements, like Black Lives Matter, was so reassuring because I had always included social justice in my music. And now it was like, look, we're almost how we were talking about before, marginalized voices will be the voices of the future. Like, these are important things because they're gonna affect the overall society.
What's Creative Mornings?
The biggest breakfast lecture series in the world, and there's a Creative Mornings in every major city that you go to. I run the San Diego chapter, and it's the eighth biggest chapter in the world. And so we have free coffee, free donuts, free 20-minute lecture. We've been blessed by your voice. And we try to get people that are spearheading or creating some type of movement in San Diego that can kind of lend a hand to not only just how they did what they did to get where they are, but like just who they are.
Gotcha.
A lot of times we see the, you know, the art, but we don't know the artist that much. It gives you a chance to know the artist and meet them within community.
How'd you get connected with them?
I was running the church and everything, mm-hmm. and they caught wind of what I was doing in the community as well, mm-hmm. and they asked me to speak. I was a disruptive speaker in the sense that I kind of called out what it looked like from my perspective. Like, it was more of a white space. I was an artist that's seeing creativity as like including the graffiti artists, the b-boys, some of the healers, the death doulas. And I was seeing Creative Mornings as more of like a creative agency space. Mm-hmm. And the way that I wanted to approach that is say, you know what, let me use my voice to show that it can be different and still dope. And I think that I was the first black speaker at Creative Mornings San Diego.
Okay.
So it's all based off community and relationships and the strength off of, you know, showing up, mm-hmm. but then also having that relationship too, mm-hmm. that could seal it. That was, I think that was the final thing that got me to be the host.
Wow.
Yeah.
How long have you been hosting?
I've been hosting since 2021.
Killing.
Ramel is another version of that hybrid archetype, but instead of record label strategies, he's pulling from community activism to get his art in front of people. Both he and Desi are ditching the cookie cutter method and custom fitting their approach to better fit their audiences, which is just a complicated way of saying they're giving the people what they want. We're covering a lot on this one, so let's take a quick break. When you get back, we'll head over to the park. Stick around.
KPBS On Demand is supported by Paint Care, offering households and businesses in California more than 800 leftover paint drop-off sites for recycling. Quantities of 100-plus gallons of paint may qualify for a large volume pickup. Learn more at paintcare.org.
Welcome back. We've been bouncing around, but there's one section we haven't hung out too heavy. North Park. With its slick new middle-class energy, it boasts a lively mix of upscale eateries, bars, and nightclubs. The AC Lounge is one of those spots. Located off of Adams Avenue, it hosted a weekly event that, in the lineage of the Improv and the Loft, acted as a workspace for up-and-comers to sharpen their rhyme skills in front of a crowd. Chris Reyes got the story.
If you can you just introduce yourself really quick?
Peace, it's your man Kali, Bars Weekly, SD State of Mind, Hip Hop Wedge.
Can you talk a little bit about how you had different nights on different Wednesdays that represented different things?
First, I got to shout out to homie Nick Norris for bringing the idea of Hip Hop House to us. You know, he was doing Hip Hop House for quite a few years in Phoenix, Arizona, and he wanted to bring it to California. And he trusted me to like bring it out to the West Coast. We had the True School Boom Bap was Hip Hop House. Waves was like more of the modern vibe type ish. And then we had Elbow Room, but it was our open mic because people would come from like out of town. Right. Thinking that it was an open mic where they could do a song or do a couple songs. And we're like, nah, this is like a traditional open mic. The DJ or whoever's playing beats, you grab the mic, you kick a verse, pass the mic, and then just passes around. Like, that's an open mic, you know? And through that, that was a way for people can hone their skills, but also that was a way that we can see, oh, this is a good person that we can book on an upcoming show.
Awesome. Corny in the grand scheme, they can't seem comprende. Whack MCs who lip sync, never seen a hip-hop Wednesday. Your friends say I'm hating, your smiles and handshakes ain't relating. Perception and reality's conflicting.
The no rapping over vocals. Can you talk about a little bit about like where that came from and like why you pushed it so heavily?
When it comes to being the MC that I am and the type of MC that I like listening to and what I think an MC is and should be, that's one thing that I was serious about. Because a lot of times, if you rap over your vocals, there's a good chance that your performance is trash anyways. And I also know that these days, especially, there are people who don't care if you rap over your vocals. Like, we've had people not rap over their vocals and it wasn't great, but we've also had people that always rap over their vocals and they didn't that time and it was amazing because they put more into it. You know, I'm trying to get back to that where it's like, yo, you're forced to actually try harder. And I've had people try to tell me, oh, you don't understand, but this is how the bit, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no, no, no. I understand all that probably better than you do. This is what I think is best. And it's totally fine if you don't want to do it. You just, if you want to perform here, which basically everybody wanted to, this is one of the rules you got to abide by, dude.
Kali is also a hybrid artist. His life is divided in two eras, half before the internet and half after, giving him the advantage of lived experiences in both worlds. What we're essentially hearing in his interview is how he was bridging the gap between generations by sharing valuable knowledge and skills he's acquired, like how to connect with your audience offline and in real life. Kali is performing his duties as an elder statesman, a young OG, but Hip Hop Weds wasn't the only night cooking.
My man Kid Riz out in Oceanside, he was throwing the lyrical schoolyard battles. That led me down to San Diego, the Casbah, where DJ Artistic and DJ Root were throwing the Battle Bot, which is MC battles, DJ battles.
Swiss J's, they get burnt just like riches. Take two, been past that. My mind drifted, lifted off that. Yo, I'm tripping on the dance floor. Might dry hump your missus. Blame it on the liquor. Next morning, act different. Different than y'all rappers, I'm gifted. Got dope off that show, then I spent it. How did I spend it? That's none of your business.
That's Rick Scales, an underground artist who made a name for himself in freestyle battles. Look up 18 Scales. Just as sure as Rick knows every rap spot in the city, every rap spot in the city knows Rick. Quote me. These days, he's also a show promoter throwing events of his own. In this interview, he, among other things, talks about the importance of battle rap culture in the local scene.
What's the impact of events like BattleBot on a rap scene?
BattleBot fostered hip hop. Like, every element was covered. You know what I'm saying? We were doing it all. There was DJs, MCs, B-boys breaking every time. It's dope to watch how many collaborations have happened from that, whether it's like people within the same discipline meeting up with each other and building, or people crossing paths and like, oh, let's collaborate. Oh, I like your beats. I like your rhymes. Let's build. It was a breeding ground, like, for sure.
What Hip Hop Weds brings, how is it different from what BattleBot was bringing?
Well, Hip Hop Weds was completely different, even though it used all the same elements, because it's hip hop. Like, you're gonna have all the elements there, especially if it's being done correctly. It was run by my man Kali, who is an amazing MC, who dedicated a lot of his life bringing a weekly event at the same place and packing the room out like every week with people that love hip hop music and exposing people to new artists all the time. Hip Hop Weds fostered a lot of talent. Like, you could come out there and get on a stage if you've never been on a stage before, and people would come in there and grow, you know what I'm saying? And then there was like events like the Cypher at the Hostel, Cypher at Green Flash, the Cypher at the Park. These were all things where we were fostering hip hop, you know what I'm saying? Like, where you could come in, there's a big circle full of MCs, a bunch of local producers, and there's mics, and anybody can rap. And we're not finna get at you like, get out of here if you're not good. We're not gonna run you off the block. We're gonna help you get better. And then that's what, there was a lot of people that grew in talent just from attending these events, you know? There was a point in time where if you really wanted to be an MC, you could just pop up to these couple of events a month. So you gonna have to figure something out, you know what I'm saying? Like, for real, if not, then you just gotta hang it up.
How important is it for a budding MC to have a place to workshop their craft?
It's imperative, I feel like, because at some point you're gonna have to learn to read a room. You're gonna have to learn how to hold the mic, and you know what I'm saying, how to work a stage and how to banter, how to recover in a fumble, or and you can't get those things, all of those things, just sitting in your living room unless you have access. But for the most part, like, you're gonna need the real life experience. You gotta get hands on, you gotta get your hands dirty.
Many believe that mastery comes after 10,000 hours of practice. In this clip, Chris Reyes speaks with a true master who was at all the venues you've heard about. He's played a key role in San Diego rap since the early days and brings our story
full circle.
Came on a mission, especially with two children and wife carrying my third, my vision different. It's bigger than me now, it ain't just styling off the dome to be known for my wit. I'm trying to disembowel the game just to see how the issue get. A bit of chess with a deeper purpose, I fit words and insert knowledge when it's needed, a certified linguist. Certainly you heard of my linguistics, and if you haven't, it's most likely due to your appreciation of the average.
Peace, I am Odessa Kane from Masters of the Universe, Red Lotus Clan. Yeah, representing Southeast San Diego by way of Paradise Hills.
For you, where did it start? And take us to when you decided to, like, give us the Odessa Kane part.
As a youngin', just b-boying, you know what I mean? Little skate rat. When I moved to from East Dago to Paradise Hills, things kind of changed over right there. There wasn't too many skaters, but I was always a little hip-hop head, you know what I mean? And really, the ones that took a liking to me were these housers. It was my homeboy Sean Campbell and the other homie Frosty. Sean Campbell's older brother's BC from House Clan, a prominent dance crew in our area in Paradise Hills. It turns out that this wider collective, the people that were in that crew, House Clan, was Orko. Orko the Psychotic Alien, Orko Elohim, goes by many a names. That's big bro right there.
I'm from
1994.
Outkast dropped their first shit. Jeru rose up in the East. Orko was murdering every verse that he touched in these SD streets.
They took me in, you know. I started rapping. The first name that I had was Expose the Elemental P. And then it turned into Expose the Matrix. We put out a couple things, Micro Crucifixion, Back to the Future. Orko was killing everybody with everything he was dropping. And it was inspirational to me because that kind of got me to get into my creative back. But still, I wasn't all the way as dedicated as they were. After Orko and I made Post-War Technology, we became more socially like aware and conscious. We were always like on that level, but something in me was like, nah, I think I could delve even deeper into talking about like pertinent social issues. Things switched over. I changed my name to Odessa Kane, and I'm like, nah, I think this is where I really want to start rhyming and put out projects.
Historically in rap, right, there's always been this conversation, sometimes an argument between brown and black. Mm-hmm. And you have always been one of those people who's been very outspoken on uniting those sides, making sure that there is no friction with that. Do you feel like the generation that, say, we came from, right, like they focused more in on it then than they do now?
Yeah, because it's in a different space right now with the, you know, the street gang culture also is injected into the conversation. Mm-hmm. I always felt the need to strengthen the ties because the ties were already there. They already existed, you know what I mean? I'll go all the way to BX, to the Bronx, like, no, like the brown faces, we were already in the mix, you know what I mean? We played our part, and those are like ancestrally speaking, those are my elders, you know? So I want to carry on that tradition. It's in the tradition of our people as natives also, you know, to continue to bring the stories into present day. Again, when I came over here to Paradise Hills, even in East Dago, black folks always took me in. It was always my bigger brothers that took me in. I was just different, you know what I mean? In that sense, again, a young hip-hop head, of course we're gonna gel well, you know?
Say backpack, intellectual, or gangster, what dominates the city if you had to pick?
Oh, it's always gonna be the street gangster shit, mm-hmm. of course. Because mm-hmm. we do that wish well out here, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Don't matter what corner or pocket of the city you from, you know what I mean? If you're in the streets, you from the trenches, and that type of music speaks to you, now that you could speak it and translate it, it's probably going to be some of the best gangster shit you heard on the planet Earth. It's not by coincidence, it's not by chance that the E-40s and these high-level players from L.A. with the bro Mitchie. No, it's not, because he created some of the dopest shit, and still to this day is creating some of the dopest shit. Just a gang of fools from out here, you know, shout out Cricket too, and there's a gang of folks from Dago that make some of the hardest shit when it comes to like that gangster street shit.
If you had to give, say, the next few generations of San Diego rappers advice on from taking from what you've learned and what you've been through, what could it be? Give me like a couple things that you would make sure you want them to hear and know.
Oh man, I think definitely just become more familiar with your roots, you know? Make that part of your being. Do you know your roots, or do you only start at 2000, 2010, because it didn't start there. It started in the 70s. Those were the formative years where it actually happened. And all that work that was put in up until where your knowledge just begins, that can't be just dismissed and put to the side like it never happened, because they made it easy for you to eat right now.
At the start of every episode, I remind you this isn't a timeline. My hope is, if anything, this series sparks smart conversations. There's a ton of stuff we didn't get to that's crazy interesting. We don't usually do this, but let's take a quick second break, come right back, and we'll wrap things up.
KPBS On Demand is supported by Paint Care, offering households and businesses in California more than 800 leftover paint drop-off sites for recycling. Quantities of 100-plus gallons of paint may qualify for a large volume pickup. Learn more at paintcare.org.
Our rap scene was full of promise at the start of 2020, with top-tier talents like Nick Cannon and Andre Day reaching incredible levels of success. However, the city's momentum abruptly came to a screeching halt in March of that year. We're specifically covering 1980 to 2020 because everything changes with the pandemic. To me, that sits as a different chapter, one I'm too close to write about right now. But that's not to say I'm opposed to doing so in the future. But in the meantime, I got one more guest to put a bow on this thing and take us out of here. I think he puts it all in perspective.
What's your name and what do you do for a living?
What's up, y'all? My name is King Crooked. I am a musician, artist, songwriter, performer, Long Beach native, California hip-hop representer.
What do you think of the state of hip-hop right now? Is this the best it's ever been or the worst?
I won't say it's the best or the worst. What we're looking at is 51 years. It's 51 years old. There are some people working on the ground to try to preserve what the foundation fundamentals are. DJing, scratching, graffiti, MCing, you know, some like to add beatboxing and knowledge. Hip hop started off as each one teach one. I just think we need a little more balance, a couple more super dope conscious rappers with multi-million dollar budgets behind them to spread their word, give them more of a voice.
What's the first thing you think about when you hear San Diego?
It's funny, the first thing that I think of now is 1982. There's a guy named Soulful Ernie who drops a record called Party Rock on vinyl out of San Diego. And then he drops another record called Street Talking on Lion's Den Records in 1982. So you gotta understand, in 81, Gigolo Rap drops in LA, becoming the first rap on wax. Not the first rapper, but the first rap on wax, a vinyl, Gigolo Rap, Disco Daddy, and them boys. And then right in 82, Soulful Ernie comes into play with Party Rock and begins the history of San Diego hip hop on wax. San Diego hip hop history that needs to be spoken on, that needs to be in the history books, that, because 82 is very early, my brother. 82 is very, think about it, 6 in the morning from Ice-T dropped in 86. I think NWA dropped in 87. We talking about 1982, my brother. So that's the first thing I think about right now when I think about San Diego.
Like I said, I'm a fan of your work, but in particular, there was a couple mixtapes floating around. My guy, DJ E3, he had one, and he had a track on there called San Diego 2010.
Yes, sir.
How did that record come about?
Somebody sent me a bunch of beats, and I had just came back from San Diego. When I heard them beats, it reminded me of a conversation we was having. That beat came on, and I was like, yo, this is San Diego 2010. And, you know, I started just kicking a story about hustling when we was chilling in the gas lamp, drinking on a little something, running stories and reminiscing, you know what I'm saying, with the homie Joseph. That's how I felt, and I like to take what I feel into the booth. Yo, what's up? This your man, King Crooked. West Coast hip-hop stand-up. Right now, we're about to get into San Diego 2010. You heard me?
Tell my connects they can meet me in San Diego. Tequila at the table. 1942 Don Julio, that Anejo. Chilling with my mad Anejo. That means she only with me for the afternoon. Met her in San Mateo. Anyway, I'm just here to grab the payload. Package Ayo and not the cap to save hoes. Passenger seat of the Rover. My homie told me the seats look like they made an alligator. Look closer. No, bruh, that's Cobra. Leaning on you snakes. My shooter is my chauffeur. The holster wrapped over his shoulder just like a toga. Smoking with the windows lowered, I blow out a chemtrail. Going to meet a plug, my cousin gave me the intel. Fish scale nigga that lives well, but keeps it under the radar. Driving by narcs cars in a smart car. But I don't know him from Adam. Could be a dirty snitch. The thought of new money is tempting. Eve was a curvy bitch. Pulled up to his house, it was small. But yo, I heard he's rich. Chilling in his garage and some dirty kicks. Show me 30 bricks. What the fuck? I'm feeling like it's a setup. You showing me all his product and we just met up. Told my killer keep his head up. Got a couple of things to clarify. Text my cousin, is this good solid? I had to verify. Gave me the thumbs up. I'm thinking if this nigga jammers, we bussin'. I ain't with clicking hammers on hitting cameras. But I guess he showed us the coke to prove he didn't scam us. Behind the scenes, the hustle ain't Hollywood glitz and glamour. I told him let's speak further and make the plan Kevlar. I'm headed back to my suite, the Fairmont, Grand Del Mar. It's time to clean it up, switch it to some more clothes. Trade the hoodie for the sports coat and go get some more. Pull up to the gas lamp district, hop out the door closed. Lord knows I'm cleaner than a Baptist preacher. Hard bottoms walking across sidewalks sounding like Morse code. Glad to meet you, yeah, nice to meet you. This like a night in Egypt. The warm breeze followed us in the club. We swipe visas, baby like a Khaled album. She got the right features. Tight ass skirt, thick legs, Christian Dior anklet. The scent of her perfume wrapped the body up like a warm blanket. Shake it to the rhythm, I envision a form naked. Staring at her eyes when I'm talking, that make it more sacred.
Rap Diego is a co-production of KPBS and Meridian Arts. Host and co-creator, Parker Edison. Episodes written by Jay Smith, Chris Reyes, Don Jagger, and Stephen Flex. Extra special thanks to guest writer Melody Harold. Editing by Platform Collection. Music soundtrack by Monday Adams. Executive producer for KPBS is Lisa Jane Morissette, KPBS Director of Audio Programming and Operations. Technical and operational support provided by KPBS technical producer, sound designer, Adrian Villalobos, and KPBS producer, Julio Ortiz Franco. This programming is made possible in part by the KPBS Explore Content Fund. On behalf of myself and the most talented documentarians I've ever encountered, we thank you for listening and hope you enjoyed yourself. Be safe out there.
KPBS On Demand is supported by Paint Care, offering households and businesses in California more than 800 leftover paint drop-off sites for recycling. Quantities of 100-plus gallons of paint may qualify for a large volume pickup. Learn more at paintcare.org.